Hello and welcome to the Supercast. I'm your host, Superintendent Anthony Godfrey. He is on a fast track to achieving his dream of one day competing in the Winter Olympics. On this episode of the Supercast, we head to the Olympic Speed Skating Oval in Kearns, where Ray Shim, who just completed ninth grade at Mountain Creek Middle School, hits the ice for another grueling practice. Ray has already set a national record in short track speed skating, and soon he will be competing in higher level races, like the America's Cup and World Cup trials, as he strives to make his Olympic dreams come true. We're here at Mountain Creek Middle School with Ray Shim. Ray, thanks for taking time.
Thank you.
Ray is a speed skater preparing for his next race, but for even bigger things beyond that. Tell me about that preparation and how long you've been skating.
Well, I started skating when I was 4 in South Korea, and my mom got interested in it. So I've been preparing for going to like bigger races for 11 years now.
And what's your ultimate goal?
To go to Olympics.
And how long before you would be trying out for the Olympics?
Well, this next quarter would be my first year that I could ever try it out.
What's the age of eligibility?
I think you have to be at least 16.
Okay. And you're going to turn 16 just in time for that?
Yeah. The next Olympics is going to be in 3 years, so I'll be able to make it.
Do you remember when you started skating?
I don't. I started when I was 4, so I barely remember anything.
So the only thing you remember is skating.
Exactly.
For your whole life.
Yeah.
And did you have a talent for it early on? What have you been told about your early abilities?
Apparently, my coaches said that I have a good talent for it, but yeah, I guess it's still improving right now.
Well, it's always improving, I'm sure. Have you always enjoyed skating? Are there times when it has been more exciting for you than other times?
The race season is always exciting, and yeah, I've always liked skating.
So it's easier to be practicing when you're leading up to a specific race as opposed to just in the off season.
Yeah, off season you kind of get discouraged a little bit, I guess.
Tell me about what the training looks like. There's a lot of time on the ice. Is there training off of the ice, first of all?
Yes, we do off-ice training. We run and stuff, but we have our own technical exercises we do for our off-ice training.
And so what are some of those technical exercises look like?
They're just practically skating, but on the ground.
So you're practicing skating on the ground. Is that practicing in place, or are you in motion? How does that look?
Mostly in place, but we can also wear inline skates, which is rollerblades. But yeah, we could also do that to train.
Can you show me what that looks like?
Sure.
Or do you need special equipment to do that in place?
No, I don't need any special equipment.
All right, show me what that looks like. I'm having a hard time picturing that.
Okay. First, get into a 90-degree position.
Okay.
Bend your knees here, and then move this way. So
you get into the starting position, you're crouched down, really where your torso is horizontal with the ground.
That's the best position that you should be able to get.
And then you're moving your feet from side to side?
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'll step aside. Can you show me what that looks like? Okay. So you're holding the position. So you move from side to side and hold the position for as long as you would be gliding.
Mm-hmm.
And is that a means of conditioning your legs so that you get accustomed to that movement and have the stamina to hold in position?
Yes. It's also easier to hold it off ice because balance is a lot easier. So, yeah, we practice our technical moments here off ice.
So you get the technical aspect of it down, and then once you go to the ice, you're better off because you've tried it on an easier surface, and then when you get to the ice, you're better prepared.
Yep.
Your core must be just totally ripped.
I wish, but not that much.
I think you're being modest. There's no way you can do what you just did that low to the ground without being in incredibly good shape. And there's a real grace to the motion from side to side. Is that something that, I guess since if you've been doing it since 4, it comes pretty naturally. But do you have to think about that, or is that just muscle memory now?
Well, I used to have to think about it, but I've done it for a lot of years, so it's like more natural now.
Tell me what length of races you compete in.
I race 500 meter races, 1000 meter races, 1500 meter races, and 5000 meter races.
So the 5000 meter race, I assume, is a relay?
Yes, a relay. Only four person per team, and there's going to be four teams. I would take a starter position since I have a pretty good start.
So different people have different skills. You're good off of the blocks. Are there blocks that you race off of? Or do you just have to start? You just turn your skate, and that's your starting block, right?
Right, but everyone has to do 1.5 lap every time, and I'm a good sprinter type, so.
So you get everyone off to a quick start?
Yes.
What do you like best, solo races or relays?
Solo races, they're a lot more exciting than the relays.
Because it's just one person against everybody else.
Exactly.
Now tell me, I have no sense for scale here. Tell me how long a 1500 meter race takes, roughly.
Average race would be a 2 minute 30 second race. A fast one would be like a 2 minute 6 second.
And I would think that 2 minutes or 2.5 minutes of skating at that speed would just, for most people, feel like an eternity. Does it feel like a long time for you because there are so many things going through your head?
It's painful, but the time actually passes by pretty quickly.
Will you do multiple races in one day, or how does that work? There must be a lot of recovery time in between races because you're giving it your all.
Normally, there's only going to be like 20, 30 minutes per between races. We normally do prelims first, so all the 500,000 meter, 1500 races in the first day, and then the semifinals in the second day and finals in the third day.
How much time since you were 4 years old do you think you've spent? How much do you spend in an average week?
In an average week, well, every day I spend around 6-7 hours training. So times 7, that would be like 38 maybe in between on average, I guess.
I'm not going to make you do the math. I'm going to call it over 10,000 hours right now. That's pretty amazing. 6 or 7 hours a day. So tell me what a typical day looks like.
So you wake up at 5 and you eat a light breakfast, be there at 5:45 a.m., train until around 10:30, come to school. After school is done, I go back to the oval, train for another 3 hours, get back home and sleep.
So do you have much time for much else? It sounds like that's pretty much your free time.
Yeah, not really, but I manage.
And it sounds like that is a stress reliever and kind of energizing for you to be able to be part of the racing and part of the training.
Yes, it's also a little bit stressing too, but it's also my stress reliever.
Do your friends know that you do speed skating?
Well, most of my friends are speed skaters, but in this school, I don't think a lot of people know.
Okay, well, they will after this podcast because we're going to spread it everywhere. You're ready for that, right?
Maybe.
All right, we're now talking with Ray's counselor, David Parker, here at Mountain Creek Middle. Tell me about Ray.
Ray is a very polite, quiet kid who is very humble and one of the nicest kids you'll meet. You would never know, like he had said, what he's done. In fact, I know he's been speed skating for these 3 years, but to the level he's been doing, found out after last April.
You wouldn't know what an animal he is on the ice and how competitive he is.
Right. For example, when I knew he was going to be gone because we were trying to work some things out for future planning, and I knew he was gone, and he came back from his trip, and he talked to one of his AP teacher and asked how it went, and he said fine. And then as we reached out to do all this thing, and I think it was interesting, as we sent this stuff out and his accomplishments at that race, she approached me saying he just said it was fine and he's breaking these records and getting first place and, you know, up there on the podium, that went fine. So
tell me about what accommodations to the schedule and everything you've made to make all of that training possible.
So as Ray said, he's done Ed Release. This is his third year. He's one of the original Moose. In fact, this is our third year as a school at Mountain Creek. So he and his brother are considered some of the original Moose because Becky Hunsaker, our head counselor, was the first hire in the department, and the very first meeting she ever had was with them to help kind of accommodate that. So Ray has always done Ed Release for the first three periods of the day and then the afternoon period. And he supplements that with the virtual learning that's been available through the district. So he's here 4 or 5 days or periods a day and is taking AP classes in the midst of all that. And so, like he said, he manages, and I don't know how, but.
About what he's been able to accomplish. Stay with us. When we come back, we'll head out on the ice with Ray Shim, an aspiring Olympic athlete and successful student.
Hello, I'm Stacey Worthen, Secondary Counseling Specialist for Jordan School District. Do you know all the ways Jordan School District counselors can help you and your student? School counselors play such an important role in our schools. They provide parents with resources to help guide their children in academics. They provide support with the mental and social well-being of students in our schools. And if you are in the process of preparing a student for college or just beginning the conversation of higher education, now is the perfect time to reach out to your child's counselor. We can assist with college applications and college readiness. I encourage parents and guardians to schedule an appointment and get to know your student's counselor. Together, counselors and parents can help develop plans and strategies for students to succeed long after they leave Jordan School District. Reach out. We're always here to help. You can find us and learn more at counseling.jordandistrict.org.
How much time do you think you've spent in this building?
Too much to count. I have no idea.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure. So is there always, do we always have two sets of ice here, two rinks?
Yes, one's for hockey skating, so they have hard boards, okay. And one's for figure skating and stuff.
Okay, and this is the skating one over here?
Yes.
Okay, I remember hearing about this building that it is one of the largest buildings without any posts in it at all, so that you could get line of sight for the cameras when the Olympics were here.
Oh, I had no idea. But yeah, there is no post now that you say it.
So tell me about your skates. I shouldn't be surprised, but those blades look really long.
Yeah, they're 17 and a half inch blades long.
Oh, wow. And you keep this cover on them to keep them sharp and keep from injuring yourself on those blades, I assume.
For protecting the blades mostly, though.
Compete on the short track. So is this pretty much the same as the ice that you would compete on?
Yeah.
How long does it take you to get all suited up? Oh, okay, now you just uncovered that blade. Can I take a look at that? Yeah. That is a serious blade. That could protect you in the parking lot on your way to the car. Wow, that is serious business. And in proportion to the size of your foot, that's pretty long blade.
Yeah, it's supposedly supposed to be longer than your foot, so like, you don't have to worry as much about like the front and back shifting.
Oh yeah, gives you stability.
Well, this would last around maybe like half a year to a whole year because you would sharpen them like every 2 or 3 times you skate on them. They last a pretty long time.
Ray, it looks like you're double laced and Velcro strap. It's a bit of a process. So it takes you 10 minutes, but it'd take me 20.
Double laces are for the tightness of your ankle so that it doesn't become loose. And then Velcro is more like to keep the laces so that it doesn't.
There are no brakes on these things. Once you get going, you just have to kind of turn and put your skate at a 90 degree angle to your trajectory.
Well, I guess you would just kind of glide until you start losing speed.
Okay.
Or kind of like start stepping like that.
I can't wait to see you in action here, because this is a lot of buildup. All right, now you're all geared up. You've got your helmet on. You always skate with a helmet, I assume.
Yes.
Very good. And you've got, is this all one piece from shoulders to ankles?
Yes, all one piece.
Okay. And your U.S. speed skating jacket, that's pretty cool.
Thank you.
That's awesome. So tell me, how does it feel to be all suited up? Does that feel...
It's pretty uncomfortable. It's skin tight, so it wouldn't be something that I would want to wear the whole time, but it's best for your aerodynamic activities.
How much skating do you do before a race to warm up?
They only give you 10 minutes on ice, and then you would have to wait until it's your race.
Okay.
And then just skate then. So you would have to do like a lot of off-ice warm-ups, like running, stretching.
Okay, so a lot of off-ice warming up, and then 10 minutes on the ice, and then you're ready to go.
Yes.
So you've got these gloves. It looks like you dipped just the fingertips of the gloves in latex. Is that part of your start, or tell me about that? And it's only on the left glove.
This is for pivoting. So when you start going fast and you start to lean more on ice, since you can't just kind of do it without the support of your hand on your ice, this is for like,
oh yeah,
gliding it on.
Okay. All right, let's see you out on the ice. Man, he looks great out there. He is going so fast. Ray, that was awesome.
Thank you.
That was really, I don't know, I was very overwhelmed seeing you skate. I thought that was incredible. It was so graceful, so fast. And when you finished, you glided all the way around with no effort. You had so much energy you built up. You went around once doing nothing.
Yeah, these skates glide really easily. So once you get speed, it's kind of hard to slow down.
Yeah, when you turned and leaned in and just put your hand down, I just thought, well, that's something I'll never do. That was incredible. I am so impressed. I'm so glad we got to come here to the ice and see you skate. It was just, honestly, just astonishing to see how fast you go, how graceful it is, how effortless you make it look.
Thank you.
When we walked up to the ice, there was a kid who is obviously a speed skater who wanted to show you his skates. Do you have that happen sometimes when you're all geared up? You have a very gold medal look right now.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, from time to time. He just started learning how to skate, so he's probably really interested in like other people who would be skating like him.
Yeah, that's really cool that you are already getting the chance to encourage younger skaters. When is your next competition?
It's going to be in August, mid-August, right before our school's going to start again.
Do you compete here at any point where I could come and see?
In August, yeah.
In August, it's here.
Race here. Yeah.
Okay, great. Well, we'll be here. We'll be here.
Thank you.
Thanks for spending the time, Ray. We'll be cheering you on from these stands.
Thank you for taking time.
Thank you for joining us on another episode of the Supercast. Remember, education is the most important thing you will do today. We'll see you out.